Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. Greg Pickle joined us on the phone. Tyler Donahue, as advertised from Lions247, is joining us now to talk about Lash Bash Weekend. And really, Tyler, it's good to say Tyler Donahue from Lions247. I'm going to have to retrain my brain. It was like you never left the Penn State beat after Land of 10, and now you're back. And your first big hurrah is Lash Bash, so it's awesome.
Yeah, just when I was about to go get cardboard boxes and head to Happy Valley, had an opportunity I couldn't pass up, so excited to be with Lions247 and fight on state, and really excited to be back on the podcast with you, Dustin.
It's good to have you back. We've been trying for a couple weeks, but through all these different things, we had to wait until now. But it's good to have you. And, you know, the first weekend, I know this is your second Lash Bash weekend, and that, you know, there's some differences between this year and last year, but they do come away with a commitment from Emory Simmons, the 3-star. I think 247 has him as a 4-star wide receiver from North Carolina. Really fast kid, but really good player too. Did you have any idea that this was coming before it happened?
I think if we were to put together kind of a probable list of 5 guys who we thought maybe were going to commit during the weekend, I don't think Emory Simmons would have been on that list, quite frankly. Probably would have looked more towards the linemen on both sides of the football. But with Emory Simmons, I mean, this is a guy who clearly has had some difficulties making his mind up in his recruitment. He committed to Indiana earlier in the year, then committed to North Carolina. That's where he's from, and Southview High School in Oak Mills, North Carolina. So him committing to Penn State, a surprise to me, but there's a question. You wanted to know who that next wide receiver component would be, because they added John Dunmore out of South Florida in early July. They end up missing on John Metchie, who goes to Alabama over Penn State. So Simmons in the fold now, you know, a nice junior season last year, 55 catches, almost 1,000 yards, 12 touchdowns. He stuck around on Sunday for Penn State's last prospect camp. I think that gave him an opportunity to work under the supervision of David Corley. I'm sure both him and Coach Corley came away with some notes about what they want to work on and what they're going to focus in on with his development moving ahead. But yeah, a nice pickup for Penn State and continuing to show their ability to reach into different parts and of different regions and pluck some top talent out of there. Obviously, it's a tough loss for Carolina to lose an in-state receiver like that, but this is the second former Tar Heel commit who ends up in Penn State's class. Team B, the defensive end, committed back in June, also spent time in North Carolina's class. So Penn State picking on them a little bit so far in the 2019 cycle.
What are your thoughts on a kid who flips twice? You know, does that automatically make him a candidate to flip again, or do you think this is the end of the road for Emory Simmons?
I have to imagine from Emory Simmons' perspective, this is probably the end of the road for him. First off, no one wants to be known as a guy who's always kind of riding the fence and not making a decision. But I think ultimately you look at the decisions he has made, Penn State's in a different echelon right now in the college football spectrum than the previous two pledges that he put out there. You know, Indiana, we saw them on the same football field with Penn State last year. It's just not the same talent level right now. And then obviously North Carolina, you know, they've had some nice seasons out of the ACC, but let's face it, you know, Penn State, 2 years in a row, top 10 program. They've got a tremendous stockpile of talent, including that wide receiver, which will be really interesting for competitive purposes. But I think Emory Simmons probably feels at home now with Penn State. He's got to make this thing last to December and get signed up. But I would be shocked if there was another change of heart here. But it does happen, Dustin, and you've seen it. There's guys who commit to a few different schools and before they find the right fit. I personally never hold it against a prospect because, you know, just like schools are allowed to offer 200 kids and they can only take 20 commits, I think it's okay for a player to maybe issue an early commitment. But I've imagined that the chapter is closed for him now, and he's going to get to focus in on his senior year and then eventually get to Penn State and become a college football player for the program.
I think it's important to say that kids are going through this for the first and only time. So mm-hmm. The feelings that they have and, you know, what they think is the right thing. It is a moving target, and not all of them are going to handle it absolutely perfectly. I'm not saying he handled anything wrong, but some are going to be more patient, I suppose, than others, but I don't think it's an indictment of the kid himself. You mentioned the ability of Penn State piecing this class together. What conclusions can you draw at this point from a pretty down year in Penn State's immediate target range in terms of their recruiting footprint and their ability to do just that and piece together a class that's going to be very, very competitive nationally?
It just shows that this Penn State brand at a national level is the healthiest it's been in quite some time. I would venture to guess more than a decade. It's just the presence of this program in the college football playoff race consecutive years. James Franklin is an obvious star on the rise in football coaching. And then, by the way, Saquon Barkley may be the most recognizable young football talent at the professional level. He's a guy that is leading the NFL in jersey sales, and he's already a story of training camp for the New York Giants, who happen to play in the world's biggest media market. You know, you throw all these things together, plus the five other guys who were picking the NFL draft last year. Again, a very healthy brand for Penn State. So when there is a year where you're not necessarily thrilled about what's available to you on home turf, and based on the offers that have gone out to Pennsylvania prospects, I think that is the case for Penn State in the 2019 cycle. You need to be able to go, and you need to be able to go in those backyards and take their targets away from them. We've seen it happen to Virginia Tech, Virginia, North Carolina now. I mean, Penn State's really, I think what's really impressive is they've gone into some of these states that are, I consider, to kind of a petri dish for recruiting, North Carolina, Virginia, because you've got SEC involvement. You've got Big Ten teams coming in there. You certainly got the major ACC presence. So for Penn State to be able to go in there, you know, carry its weight and then some and pull some of the top players out of these states, I think that's a big time development. You start throwing in the fact that maybe they're going to make even more of a push in Florida, bringing up a former Florida Gators commit, John Dunmore, at the wide receiver position. And I think I really like what they've done in New England, you know, bringing in a couple really talented defensive backs from Connecticut and Tyler Rudolph, Marquise Wilson. They may not be done in New England just yet in this class. So I certainly think that when you look at Penn State's ability to go beyond, you know, their comfort zone, go beyond the backyard to search for top talent, they're doing it effectively, and there's a reason they're doing that, because that brand is on the rise and doesn't seem like it's going to diminish anytime soon.
Penn State going to where the talent is and getting the talent. 13 players so far in the 19 class, 8 different states. We're talking to Tyler Donney from Lions 247 about Lash Bash weekend and some of the events that happened afterwards. And another big one, I think, Tyler, Noah Cain from IMG Academy puts out his top 6. I guess his parents were on campus for Lash Bash weekend. Can you, whether it's Noah Cain or otherwise, can you say with some certainty that Penn State will be adding a second running back in this class?
Well, I think it's very clear that that's what their game plan is. I don't think they'll settle for just any second running back just to have a body, but I think it makes a lot of sense when you look at the roster. They've got 2 seniors in that group right now who are going to be moving on. I know this isn't something James Franklin necessarily wants to think about right now, but if Miles Sanders goes out there and is a superstar that we think he can be, he may not be around Happy Valley very long. So, you know, you got Ricky Slade as a freshman. You've got Journey Brown as a redshirt freshman. You've got Devin Ford committed. You're going to need more talent in that group moving forward, even though it is a very impressive group already. So I think a second running back makes a lot of sense. You know, Aaron Young landing on that target board now, one of the rare in-state offers that Penn State has issued, running back out of Coatesville. He's another name to know. But Noah Cain, obviously, when you talk about a star quality, a big-time name, he has been a national recruit since his freshman year in the Dallas, Texas area. He moved on to IMG Academy midway through his high school career. We know IMG Academy is, probably the lightning rod in recruiting when it comes to a one singular prep program. That's where KJ Hamler spent his senior year. So I think with Cain, you look at his top 6, it tells you a little bit about him. It's Penn State, Auburn, LSU, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Texas. To me, the big thing is there, he's not afraid to go to a different region and flourish. He spent time in Baton Rouge. He considers himself a Baton Rouge native. You know, that's home to him. That's where LSU is. That's why a lot of people think LSU is going to be difficult to beat here. But he's also spent significant time in Dallas, and he's now spent time in Florida. And he's shown a willingness to get up to Penn State in April alongside his dad. I can tell you for a fact that that visit really exceeded his expectations. I think he went up there more of a, as a courtesy to Jawan Sider, who was recruiting him to the Florida Gators last year before he made the move to Penn State staff. He was also intrigued by the success that Saquon Barkley enjoyed at the same position at Penn State. But I think coming away from that Penn State visit in late April, the Nittany Lions were in a good spot to make this list whenever it was going to drop. He had said it was going to come before his senior season. He checked that off his list last night with the top six list. And now I think the Nittany Lions are in a good spot to get him back on campus in Beaver Stadium for one of these marquee matchups in 2018. And that's kind of the last step for him. He's been to a lot of college football games. He has not been to one in Beaver Stadium. So that's going to be a good thing, I think, for him and for that rapport. But you think about Devin Ford, Noah Kane, both of them are top 10 talents at the running back position. And hey, Alabama gets stuff done like that. Georgia lately has been getting stuff done like that. Ohio State, Urban Meyer, those are the kind of things they do. So if Penn State's able to put together a class at that position with two top 10 prospects, that's saying a lot. But, you know, they did it last year at the tackle position. And, you know, they loaded up a linebacker. So, you know, not necessarily surprising to see them involved here, but Noah Kane reciprocating, serious interest after his parents were on campus this past weekend. Just a note for your listeners. He was not on campus, but his mom and dad were. It was dad's second visit, mom's first visit, and key to recruitments. You got to win over mom if you want to seal the deal. And I think James Franklin has shown he's very good at dealing with parents, mothers, fathers, and that was clearly the case. The staff made a strong impression this weekend.
Hey, you got about 25 seconds here. Your expectations whenever Michael Johnson Jr. announces his commitment on Wednesday?
Yeah, where things stand here Monday morning, I would lean towards him, you know, joining a quarterback class that will feature two players, Taquan Roberson out of New Jersey, and I think Johnson's a really intriguing talent, the son of a football guy, an NFL, a college coach. I think it's going to be a really interesting dynamic and a loaded quarterback room for post Trace McSorley, Tommy Stevens era in Happy Valley.
Yeah, and I think this 2019 group is a good time to transition and bridge the gap into the future there. Tyler Donahue from Lions 247, always good to have you on with us, Tyler.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Well, I'm sure we'll catch up with Tyler sometime soon, maybe a little bit later this summer. For now, we're moving on. We're going to do a round of Ask Greg, only this time with Greg Pickle still making his way back from Chicago. It's going to be Ask Dustin. Stick around. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.